Well, it's great to see everyone. Excited to be back together in person this Friday and this Sunday as well for our first Sunday service of the year, as Caleb mentioned. And yeah, it's just good to be together tonight. Hope you all had a great New Year's weekend. And for those of you who are able to be there in White Plains on Sunday, I hope you left feeling inspired. Campus really represented on Sunday for that service. I heard that Gigi did an awesome job sharing for communion. Give it up for Gigi. And I heard Rob preached his heart out, and I got to see a little bit of the service on YouTube and was very inspired. But whatever you did this past weekend, I hope you had a good time ringing in 2023. And over the next two midweeks, we're going to be focusing on unity. What better way to start the year than focusing on our unity as disciples of Jesus? Amen. And so the title of our focus for tonight and for what we have in store next Wednesday is, as Caleb mentioned, unity starts with you. Unity starts with you. God, the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit desires unity, oneness in his family and in the kingdom of God. Unity is seen in our genuine relationships with one another. Unity is seen in our devotion to the body. Unity is seen when we gather together. Unity is seen in our discipling relationships in this one another way. And unity is seen in our biblical convictions of really why we do what we do. But for these things to be seen, it starts with each of us doing our part. It starts with each of us going after unity. Unity starts with you. And so over the past year and a half or so, it's been really faith-building to witness our ministry, our campus region, grow in its unity. We have grown in our unity in Christ, amen? You know, I've seen us, and I'm sure you have too, grow in our friendships with one another, being involved in each other's lives, enjoying spending time together, and that it's just been tremendous growth compared to, you know, week one of our campus region. And so I really want to start this lesson by just lifting you all up and saying, you know, we have grown in this area and it's been awesome to witness, but there's always room to grow in our unity. There's always room to grow, whether you're in campus or any ministry in the church. Unity is always something we have to fight for and be focused on. And before we hop into the core of the lesson tonight, I do just want to remind us that, you know, we really need you. Each and every one of you on this call, and for those that can't make it tonight, our campus region needs you. You know, we started this about a year and a half ago with this vision to see God move through the young people, through the campus ministry, coming together as one, to grow as Christians together as family, but also to bring more people into this family. And you know, we made it pretty clear in the beginning that this won't be a forever thing. There won't always be a campus region. There will come a time where we're going to send you back to your borough or to your region and to continue building campus where you are. But now is a time where we need to each do our part. To be fully engaged, to be all in to build this ministry so that it can get to the place where we can send out and raise up leaders to lead each campus ministry. And so this coming semester, we need all hands on deck. We all have to fight for unity, fight to love, and not just show up, but come to build up the body in love. Amen. For any ministry to grow, there has to be that sacrificial love. And I believe that God has so much more in store for this ministry. And so to be clear, we are growing in this area, but there is always room to grow, and our conviction behind why we should go after unity in Christ. And so tonight, our prayer is that you can be reminded by the scriptures of what Jesus desires for unity, that you can be inspired by the word and called higher in your convictions and in your faith. We all need these scriptures tonight me included. We have a couple different points that we want to make under the umbrella of unity, but let's start with point number one, which is the title of this lesson: Unity Starts With You. Turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. And feel free to be active in the chat. Yes, it distracts me, but I'd rather be distracted than have no chat at all. You know what I'm saying? Just nothing too crazy. But let's start in Ephesians 4, 16 with this first point. It says, "From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So we've all been joined together by the blood of Christ to be a family. And we can't take that word lightly. We have been joined together by God to be those supporting ligaments, supportive friends, brothers and sisters who build each other up in love. And why do we do this? It's because of Christ's love for us to be this family. But do you take this seriously? Do you do your part? You know, when it comes to our relationships in this ministry and just relationships as disciples, sometimes what I've heard before in conversations with many different brothers and sisters, not just in this ministry, in the context of unity, it's something I've heard before is, you know, "Well, Mark, I probably could grow in reaching out to people, but Mark, people don't reach out to me. People don't initiate with me. I've tried and I just feel like people don't want to be there for me or that it's not working." And that is real. You know, we got to acknowledge that. And yes, part of the reason why we're doing this lesson is because we do have room to grow in this, right? That can't keep happening where people feel like you're putting in but not receiving back love from another disciple. But the solution is never pointing the finger just at other people. It's starting with yourself, right? Unity starts with you. And so sure, we need to call each other out in love, and sure, we can do better. I believe that. But guys, we can't let other people's lack of love or relational initiation be the reason for us pulling back and not obeying Jesus's call to love and to do our part. Amen. I get it. Unity is hard. Finding great, deep relationships in Christ, it's hard. We'll talk about that. But Jesus focused on doing his part. And that's who we're following. We're following Jesus. And his example was loving others no matter how hard it was. That's what Jesus did. And so instead of focusing on what other people could do better to be unified, focus on what you can do better first. You know, Matthew 7, verse 5, Jesus says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So again, focus on your part. I'm not saying that the brother or sister you're thinking of doesn't need to grow in being a better friend to you, but start with yourself, you building up the body in love, going after relationships, be an initiator. Don't be upset that people don't reach out to you as often as maybe you'd like them to, but pray for them, right? Encourage them, be loving, be patient, but decide that, man, you know what? God's going to bless your obedience no matter who sees it or no matter who's reciprocating it. Amen. Because this is what Jesus did. And I think part of what helped Jesus to keep loving the disciples, even when it was hard, was his motivation. You know, we talked about motivation a little bit last week, but Jesus's motivation was to please God the Father, right? The reality is that Jesus served and loved both disciples and non-disciples without expecting anything back. So Jesus's motivation wasn't always reciprocation. It was to honor the Father. But what about you? Is it just for people to love you back, or is it to simply obey God and love God because he's worthy? And so again, Jesus's motivation for unity was to fulfill what God wanted, was to honor God. And so this kind of leads us to our next point, which is unity is for Christ. It's only for him, and it's only because of him. Unity is for Christ. Let's talk about this. Hope you guys are still with me here. In John 17, we're going to look there in a second. I believe John 17 is a scripture that we all need to write on our heart to build a conviction off of. It's vital to us fulfilling Jesus's desire for his body, the church. So the scripture that we're going to read tonight in John 17, this is kind of our core scripture for tonight and really for next week. And as we read, starting in verse 20, pay attention, please, to Jesus's heart. See his heart in this passage and let it inspire you. Let it call you higher. Look at what Jesus prays here in John 17, starting in verse 20. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity." Amen. So contextually, Jesus is praying for his disciples here. And he could have prayed for any number of things. He could have prayed for more baptisms. He could have prayed for more exciting worship gatherings. He could have prayed for more leaders. But what does Jesus pray for? Unity, oneness. And to what level, to what standard of oneness? Well, verse 21 says that we as Christians would be as one, as unified as Jesus and the Father are one. Yeah, Brittany's right. That's some bars coming from Jesus. That's some high calling coming from Jesus, that we would equally be as one, as followers of Christ, as Jesus in the Father. What a prayer, what a calling for us to fulfill, what a prayer for us to answer, amen? Did you know this? Do you know that this is what Jesus wants for your relationships in this ministry and outside of this ministry in the church? And if you do know this scripture and the truth coming from it, are you actively trying to answer this prayer of Jesus? Verse 23, he prays that they may be brought to complete unity. That is something to strive for. And so campus unity, it's for Christ. It's always been for Christ. We can't be one without Christ. And so why are we going after this? Why are we talking about this tonight? It's because of Jesus. It's because he knows what we need. And it's because of this prayer. And when our unity is not motivated by Christ or for Christ, and it's all about what other people are doing or are not doing, then it's not biblical unity. It's circumstantial and it's not honoring God. When our relationships are going well just because things are clicking and maybe we've known the person for a long time, even in team ministry, that's great. But what about the people that you're not as close to? What about the disciples that maybe you've only met recently? You know, is this a scripture that you're wanting to see happen in those relationships as well? And thank God that in Jesus's life, we see him give us, I mean, literally the perfect example of going after unity. We see that in Christ. Jesus lived a sacrificial life of love. And he did show us that in order to answer this prayer, because we're sinners, because we all have sin, because we're all different, Jesus shows us in his life that unity requires sacrifice, which is our next point. Unity requires sacrifice. I'm going to read this scripture here, our next scripture, and then pass it over to Hannah. So in John 15, 11, he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Amen. In a second here, Hannah's going to read a scripture in a way similar to what he says here in verse 14. But Jesus is calling us here to lay down our lives for each other, to love with the same love that Jesus loved us. That's a sacrifice, right? If we're being honest, we see that sacrifice visibly on the cross, but unity requires sacrifice. And Hannah's going to talk more about what this means to her.
All right. So, you know, sometimes when I read the Bible, I think like, wow, what a calling. I think there's a few areas specifically that just leave me feeling like I don't really have words. I feel like my whole life is wrong. I need to completely change. Like one area that I see this is when like the disciples are being persecuted and being willing to die for the gospel. Those are moments when I sit and I'm like, wow, like my life is a joke. Like, am I even really a disciple? Like, that's where I have these like world shaking, like, oh my gosh, I need to change moments. And then another thing that makes me go, wow, and like have this same feeling is when I read in the Bible, when it talks about unity and Jesus's call for unity. And, you know, Jesus's standard for the way that we're supposed to love each other and be there for one another calls me higher and makes me question really everything I do. Every time I read scriptures like this one in John 15, it's, you know, like laying down our life as Jesus has. And of course, like, we remember Jesus's love for us very often. But I think when I have to remember like that I need to do that for other people, it's very convicting. You know, I think about just this kind of love that is exemplified in John 15. I think about how bonding and unifying love is. And I also think about like the sacrifice and the effort that it takes to lay down my life for someone else, or for someone to lay down their life for someone else. And it does take sacrifice to think of other people above ourselves. There's another scripture when I think about unity that shows Jesus' example in a way that helps me understand his thinking a little bit better. It helps me to think, oh yeah, like this is how Jesus saw things. And so that is why he can say things like, lay down your life for people, or love as I have loved you. And so that scripture is Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. So Matthew 12, verse 46 to 50, it says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you. He replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And I thought of this scripture because Jesus, when he saw people who did the will of God, he saw them as his family. And I think growing up, like, family is just like everyone sees it a little bit differently. Like, I have a pretty crazy family, but I do feel like I would genuinely do anything for my family. We see so many times references in movies or like shows blood is thicker than water, right? Like, I would lay down my life for my family, or I would like to think so. And I think there have been times where I've really done a lot for my family. And, you know, when I see the way Jesus claimed God's people as his family, I think it calls me higher in the way that I am to treat members of God's church. Like, there should be no asterisks that signifies somehow that my church family is not actually considered family. I think this way that Jesus describes family, in the way he considers who is his family, I don't think that he was saying like some sort of different kind of family. I think he was teaching us to think of it in the same way. And, you know, when I, in many ways, honestly, like in this scripture, but also in others, I think that Jesus's calling for us to be there for one another is even higher than some of us would think to be there and sacrifice for our blood family. I know in many ways, like, yeah, it just is kind of those wow moments of how we need to treat people and sacrifice for people, especially even like laying down our lives. And in this area, I believe like these scriptures are showing us that it's important to not let ourselves be the standard that we measure how our unity should look, but we should let God set that standard. And, you know, this calls me out of my comfort zone, and it reminds me that I need to decide to obey Jesus instead of what I am used to and what I'm comfortable doing. And I think that, you know, when we read scriptures about sacrificing for other people or being there for God's people and considering each other family, being a part of God's household, being a part of the body, like all the ways that we're gonna have to like sacrifice for each other, I just think that, you know, that's an inspiring thing to look at, but I have to constantly remember like, okay, this is not comfortable. It might even look crazy to people when I tell them the things that I do for people that are part of my church. Like, people just aren't going to get it, and it's honestly going to look crazy sometimes, and I might even feel like, wow, this is crazy, but it's Jesus's standard and not my own, and I just have to remember that.
Amen. Give it up for Hannah. You know, again, this point is unity requires sacrifice, right? And if we're being honest, we don't really love the idea of sacrifice. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't get excited each morning of like, what can I sacrifice today, right? It's a tough thing to feel excited about in a lot of ways. But unity is something so sweet, so good, so world-changing that we need to be willing to make sacrifices to attain it. We have to. And I love that Hannah made that point that, guys, what wouldn't God do for his family? And so in the same way, what wouldn't we do for each other? And so I want to talk about some examples of ways we can sacrifice for unity. What is God asking you to sacrifice in your life right now for the sake of unity? What is this going to look like for you? First example, maybe he's calling you to sacrifice in a way to be more patient with others. Others that you might feel like are slow to respond to you over text or a phone call, or are slow to go after the friendship that you're trying to build as a brother or sister in Christ. You know, it's taking time just to even set up time to hang out. It's just, maybe he's calling you to be patient, and in that form, be sacrificial in your patience with a brother or sister. You know, sacrifice is seen in commuting to meetings of the body, right? We, our ministry, we're all across the map, and we all come together usually in Manhattan. And again, we are so, so grateful for the sacrifices that you all make just for us to be together as a ministry. I want you to know that we see that. And we realize that this is a sacrifice. And I think that in a way, it's good that it almost takes a little bit more effort for us to be together, because I think God is testing our hearts. And when we have more over a half hour commute, for some of us, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, when our commute is longer, it reveals our heart. It reveals what we're willing to sacrifice to be together with disciples, to receive training, to receive encouragement, just to be with each other. But maybe God's asking you to be willing to sacrifice more of your time just to be with the body. You know, from the outside looking in, what we do each week as a ministry is kind of crazy for the non-Christian world, right? And even for some of the Christian world, to say that, yeah, I drive over an hour to church or take a train over an hour. Most people in other churches would say, why don't you find one locally? There's got to be some sort of church 10 minutes from you, right? But our conviction is, no, we really want to be a part of a biblical community, something that's really helping us grow in our walk with God. And so it looks crazy, but biblically, this is what we do for each other, for a family. You know, maybe a way that God's asking you to sacrifice is just in general, sacrificing your time. It takes time to build unity. It takes time to build relationships. It takes time to build trust. We have to be willing to give up our time for the sake of unity. And our time is God's time. In all reality, we're just stewards of what God has given us. You know, for a lot of us, for a lot of you, you're not just a student, but you also have a full-time or part-time job. Some of you might not be in school, but you have a full-time job. And so you're busy. You have things going on. Hey, amen. We need to have some source of income. We need to do well in school. We need to give God our best in every area of our life. But we can't be willing to sacrifice more for money than we're willing to sacrifice for God. Right? We can't be willing to sacrifice more for convenience than we're willing to sacrifice for unity and for camaraderie, right? And this is a challenging thing, right? And that's why this point is about sacrifice, because sacrifice is challenging. But what aren't you willing to sacrifice in your time? You know, maybe there's just days where, you know, you feel like, oh, I could have gone and shared my faith, or could have gone and hung out with that brother or sister, or could have maybe made that Bible study, but you can notice your selfishness creeping in and just wanting to go home. And hey, there's a time and place to rest and to go home and take it easy. But there's also times where we need to be willing to sacrifice our time so that we can help someone get to know God, that we can build a relationship in this ministry. And so again, there's a number of different ways that we could sacrifice for this. And I just want to speak to all of you and say, hey, God sees what you've already done. God sees the sacrifices that you've already made, not just for this ministry, but just for your own walk with God. And amen to that. And we want to lift you guys up for that. But really take some time during this lesson and after to think about, what are the ways that you could give God more when it comes to giving up your time and your energy for a unified ministry? And because when we do this, not only are we going to answer Jesus's prayer, but we're going to be a beacon of light, guys. And this is our final point, that unity is a light. You know, if we go back to the scripture we started with earlier in John 17, in verse 23, we see Jesus talk about something really exciting. He says here in verse 23, and this is again after we've been brought to complete unity, he says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So he's saying, hey, if we can do this, if we can really be a close-knit family, even closer than we are now, then the world will know. They will see that we're different, that we're of God. And through us as a community, they'll see the love of God. What an honor that it is that by the way we love each other, it helps other people see the love of God through sinners like us. What an honor that is. And so unity is a light. And I've had certain relationships that there was great unity, and I've been a part of other friend groups and relationships where there was disunity. And let me tell you, the ones that there was disunity going on, it was not a light. You know, if I invited, you know, a non-Christian to hang out with that group, even though they were disciples, it would have been hard for it to be a light, to be inspiring. We don't want that, right? We want people to feel like, you know what, no matter who you're hanging out with, what disciples you're with, they're going to see a light. They're going to see something they haven't seen before, not for us to get the glory, but for them to see the light of God, to see what Jesus says here, that he's loved all of us before the creation of the world. Amen. So we want the world to know that not only God has sent Jesus, but that God sent us to be his hands and feet. Our unity will shine bright as a light when we do it for Christ and when we make the needed sacrifice. It will shine, but it has to be for Christ and it has to be sacrificial. And like we started out this time, it starts with you. Unity starts with you. Yes, other people need to do their part, but start with you. Just take an honest look at yourself and ask, what is God calling me deeper in when it comes to your conviction of loving his body? And I'm not just talking about showing up Friday night at 7 on time. I'm talking about investing relationally and investing not only just to have fun in your friendship, but to help each other become more like Jesus. And that's really the blessing that it is, even just to be a part of this ministry, is as we grow, we become more like Christ. We get ready for life beyond campus, right? For building a family someday, for maybe you being asked to be a leader someday in God's church, not just paid ministry, but leading a small group, leading a Bible talk, helping in youth and family, helping in singles, whatever it might look like. God wants to raise you up. And part of how that's going to happen is through starting with yourself, with unity. And so how can you go after doing your part? You know, I hope that this was encouraging for you guys tonight. I hope that you were able to take something from this that you feel like, you know what, I can grow in that, whether it be just starting with yourself, whether it be sacrifices that you want to make in 2023, whether it be anything at all. You know, I hope you can think about something that God's saying, hey, I'm calling you higher in this. But if the standard, again, is for us to be as one as Jesus and the Father, we have room to grow. We always will, right? We always will have room to grow in meeting that standard and fulfilling Jesus's prayer.